there's a lot of mythology that, like, when you get there, like, some magic genie comes out and blesses you with, like, no more stress and everything's okay and fans aren't whining and all the things that you think are going to be magical. And it's actually the opposite. You usually have more fans and more mm-hmm. stress and staff that you're worried about paying. And what you really want is financial freedom. And financial freedom looks differently
yes.
for everybody based on where you are in your life.
Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast, where we focus on how authors found success, looking at strategies that have taken them to the top of the bestseller charts, as well as what they've learned from their mistakes. Because being an indie author is more than knowing the latest marketing trend. It's about being innovative and creative and learning from your mistakes.
Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. I'm Sarah Rosette.
And I'm Jamie Albright. And this week on the show, we have
Joe Solari.
Yes, we do. We're talking about the Author Nation Conference. It was a great interview. It was super fun.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we talked about a lot of things specific to that conference, like what's changing and what's going to be the same.
Yep.
And, you know, but we also talked about a lot of just things to do to be successful at a conference and to have a good conference.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about direct selling at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Joe has a lot of ideas about that. And I asked him a question. He had some really good mm-hmm. things to say.
Yeah. So, subscription stuff too. We talked about a lot of different things that are mm-hmm. very hot topics in the author community right now. So,
So
we do have some new supporters this week.
We do. Thank you guys so much. Our current supporters and our new supporters and our future supporters. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
We appreciate it. So this week we have new supporter Claire Jones, and she chose the tent emoji.
Yes. I'd like to know the story behind that. Yes. And we have Chandler Lambert, and they chose the books.
Yes. Which
is very appropriate. Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah.
So thank you for supporting the podcast. We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And if you would like to support the podcast, and you can, once you sign up, you'll get access to all the back episodes of supporter only episodes that we've done, and we'll be mm-hmm. doing more in the future. So that's at wishidknownforwriters.com/support.
Yeah. Our last one was with Inez Johnson, and it was so good.
It was.
And just FYI, I always think this every time we do an intro, when I say, and I'm Jamie Albright, and today on the show we have, and Sarah says who we have, that's not planned. That was because more than once I forgot who we had on the podcast. I forgot the person we were interviewing.
Even though we usually have do the interview and then we record the intro right after.
Right. Right.
But then sometimes I have a momentary burst of panic going, wait, who did we just talk to?
Well, also in the beginning, we were recording a lot of podcasts all at one time because we were, and I would forget. And so Sarah would have to jump in. And so that's how this started. And I just kept doing it because I figured it was safer that way.
We got it down now.
So what's been going on with you, Sarah?
Well, not a lot this week. I'm nearing the end of my draft. I'm so happy, but it's still slow going for me on that. So, you know, if I can just get to the end, I can go back and fix everything, but working on that. Uh-huh. I'm also doing we had John Gaspard on the podcast a while back. I looked it up. He's number 164 episode. And he talked about how he was podcasting one of his books. And so I started doing that with my mystery books podcast. Normally I do just talk about different books. I have like little seasons and I talk about maybe 5 to 10 different books in each, you know, for an episode. But this time I'm going through Murdered Archley Manor and I give a book recommendation and then I talk about chapter one. This is kind of some background on it, or this is an interesting thing I found out. And then the episode two is on, you know, another chapter. So it'll take probably depends. Sometimes I'm doing 2 chapters at once because some of them are shorter.
Right.
So it'll probably take, you know, 12 to 15 episodes to get through the book. Mm-hmm. I started that. So I've been doing that. And I think I'm releasing chapter 5 and 6 next week as an experiment. I'm hoping that people who like audiobooks will listen to it and then go find the rest of my audiobooks.
Yeah.
So it's a content creation, hopefully, pathway to help people find my books.
Right. That's great. I love that.
That's what I've been working on. So, that's great. Yeah. What about you?
I am writing, and I am writing. Did I talk about how it's? Yeah, I talked about how I'd started a romance last week. I decided to schedule an editing appointment.
Oh, is this like the end of the book, motivation?
End of the book, right? Motivation. And I put it pretty far out. I put it May 27th. So
that makes me stressed right now, just even though I'm like almost done with my book. If my appointment was in May, I'd be like, huh.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. If I don't do it, I'm afraid I'll just keep lollygagging around. And so I've been writing. Now, I'm not writing enough words to hit that target at the moment. But, you know, I mean,
I get it.
Enough reasonable amount of words, you know, so I'm not having to write 10,000 words a day at the end, which is never going to happen. but I don't have the attention span. But I just felt like I really needed to. And so if that goes well, we're looking at possibly an August release.
That's awesome.
Because here's the deal. Summer's weird for me. I'm gone some of the summer. We're talking about being gone part of July. I will be gone part of June. So I'm just, you know, I can still work during that time, but you know, again, if we're at the beach, probably not working just a whole lot. But the whole thing is that it's made me feel like an author again. Does that make sense? I don't know. And, but I'm not really, I mean, like I'm telling you guys about it. I'm not talking about it because I have found this out about my personality, that if I talk about a book or if I talk about what I'm going to do, things that are going to happen, it gives me that endorphin and dopamine hit or whatever enough that I feel like I've done it.
And then I don't have to do anything else. Write it, yeah, right?
Exactly. That is the weirdest thing about me and probably my ADHD. It's like, oh, okay, I've done that. I've had that little, you know, and I don't have to worry about it again. So I'm trying not to talk about it too much. Yeah. Not really talking about the book too much.
It's got to be a secret.
Yeah. I mean, well, it will be the third book in my Small Town Royalty series because I would really like to finish that series. I've had several people just recently contact me about it. That's not really why I'm doing it. I just would like to finish that series and know that it's complete. If I wanted to, I could do another book or two in that series. I have a few ideas, but with the third book, it could be finished and I would be fine. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's happening. And I just today got mock-ups for new covers for my Bride series. And a couple of them were really cute. I mean, it's early days, you know, still, but I was very excited. So that's going on. And yeah, that's it. I have DNF'd two mystery / thriller books that were, one is by very popular mystery thriller author. And I'm like, maybe I don't need to listen to them. Maybe I just need to read them because in both of them, the heroine just to me was too stupid to live. And
that is a problem in mystery. That is one of the hardest things to overcome when you're plotting.
Yeah.
And writing.
Both of them were about a man. They were stupid about a man. It felt like he's just, you know, they may have a little question and then they're like, no, he's just too
perfect. I'll go meet him in the dark alley.
In the dark alley. Yeah. With no protection and don't tell anybody because he told me not to. Leave my phone at home. But I'm thinking maybe because sometimes like with on passion flicks, the romance specific, you know.
Yeah. Subscription type.
Subscription network. Thank you. Streaming network. Some of those shows are kind of cringeworthy to me. It's not the way they're done. They're done fine. The acting's fine. The books are great. You know, I mean, all the books on there are great. But it's when you hear a man say some of the things that we write, when you hear him actually say it, it and see him say it to someone, it's a little cringeworthy. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't translate as well, in my opinion. This is totally my opinion. But when you read it, you eat it up with a spoon. So I'm wondering if it's the same sort of thing.
Maybe.
I'm listening to it and I just can't believe that somebody could be that stupid. Because of the narrator's interpretation, possibly. So maybe I need to read some of these as opposed to listen to them. I don't know. But no, I think that's
a huge pet peeve for readers. It is for me. And I try not to have my characters be too stupid to live. But it's really hard to get them.
It's hard. I'm sure it's hard. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, especially now.
Yes. And like we're all so aware, especially because you're a true crime fan. So you're super aware of all the horrible things that could happen.
red flag.
I mean, that was one reason I had a hard time with the Ted Lasso Amsterdam episode where she goes to that guy's houseboat.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my goodness, this is like a true crime episode right here.
Yes.
She's going, she's doing, let him what do his laundry. She takes a shower. It's just like,
she's a well-built woman. I mean, like it would take some effort to get her to the ground, but she's not going to win in a fist fight. She's just not.
I think sometimes as writers, we take the easy way out. We're like, oh, we'll just have her do this plot point because it makes the story better. But then if it pulls the reader out of it, it's not really better. And it's hard now with all our modern technology.
Yes, if you're writing something contemporary, I can see how hard that would be.
Yeah. So that's one reason I like the 1920s is there's no cell phones.
Yeah.
No DNA analysis. There's a lot of advantages to stuff like that. But and it is tough. So
it is.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I get it. I totally get it.
That's what I've been doing. We've probably gone on long enough.
Yes, we have.
We really appreciate you guys. I've been thinking about that this week, just how lucky we are that we get to do this and that we have such great readers and, readers, it's listeners. And, we just really appreciate you so much.
Yes. And if you haven't joined the Facebook group or the Slack group, come on over and say hello. The Facebook group is open to everybody. The Slack group is open to people who have sponsored the podcast, supported the podcast.
Yeah.
So that's one way that we can get to know y'all a little bit better. And speaking of that, I registered for InkersCon this week. So Jamie and I will both be at Inkers in June.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the conference podcast. So
yes, it is.
So Inkers in June, Author Nation, Jamie will be there in November, right?
November. Sarah will be.
I will be away. I'll be on vacation.
She's going to the Mediterranean, y'all, without me. And okay, whatever. All right, let's go.
All right, here is Joe. Well, we are really happy to have returning guest back, Joe Solari. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
I am doing great.
We're glad to have you back. You look like you're in your study writing your next.
Next
literary fiction novel with your sweater on.
Man, I catch a lot of flack over this sweater. It's either I get called like an old professor like you just did, or it's like, what do you think you are, Big Lebowski? Like,
the Big Lebowski. That's a good one. I hadn't thought of that. Cozy. I didn't think of that one.
Oh my goodness. Well, we've had Joe on before, so let me just read his quick bio and we'll get right into talking about Author Nation. Joe Solari is the managing director of Author Nation. He helps authors build great businesses while managing the largest indie conference on the planet.
On the planet. Yep. So tell us what you've been doing since we last spoke to you in 2020.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
Blast from the past.
What haven't you done?
Yeah. We are I'll hunker down there for a little bit.
Yeah. And,
well, you know, I've been going to conferences. I saw you in Dallas mm-hmm. at Inkers mm-hmm. and I've been at NINC. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that. I've been really focused on working with my client group mm-hmm. and helping folks kind of navigate all the changes that have been going on in the marketplace. I've been, you know, focusing on trying to help authors, you know, that can't necessarily afford the private client work, have some ways mm-hmm. to access stuff. I put out another book on marketing, but like the big thing that I've been dealing with is, you know, working with Craig to find a solution for the alternative to, you know, the 20 Books Vegas show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, in case people aren't familiar with you, tell a little bit about how you help authors with finances yes. and then tell us a little bit about Author Nation, just so people kind of know what's going on.
And they all kind of interconnect because mm-hmm. I got involved with authors through speaking at 20 Books. I was at the first 20 Books in 2017 and started helping authors back then with like what ways to structure your business, tax stuff, just kind of basic business things. And at that first conference, I started working with authors, helping them to think about their businesses in a more business focused way. Mm-hmm. I have a partner, Lisa, who's a CPA who I've been working with now for 10 years. We were in a different business before this. And so I've grown a client base around that and really thinking about how when authors do this, there's a lot of information, a lot of talk about like hitting particular monetary goals, like getting mm-hmm. to six figures, making seven figures, whatever, you know, all these kind of buzzword terms. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of mythology that like when you get there, like some magic genie comes out and blesses you with like no more stress and everything's okay and fans aren't whining and all the things that you think are going to be magical. And it's actually the opposite. You usually have more fans and more mm-hmm. stress and staff that you're worried about paying. And there comes a point where I hope clients can get to, and I work with them to like, oh, okay. Like what you really want is financial freedom, and financial freedom looks differently for everybody based on where you are in your life. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. if you've got three kids in college, financial freedom is treading water on tuition.
It's a payments. Long way off, basically.
Right.
Yep.
But when they're out, then like, oh, everything changes. And mm-hmm. and so like, how can I help people to think about their best life through writing and then use the business to make that happen? Mm-hmm. Because based on what you're trying to do, there's 28,000 different codes of taxes and 78,000 pages of them that we can use to do things to make it, you know, beneficial for that particular situation. And the problem is that you have to know which things to pick and which to choose out of mm-hmm. that, right? Because you can't use it all. Mm-mm. And some there's conflicting things, right? So like, and it's always changing. So that's really what we focus on. It's like, oh, okay. Like, you know what you really want? Like, well, how can we do that? You don't have to make $1 million to do that. Mm-hmm. You could do that on $80,000. So
very good. That was
kind of a long road around what I do. Cause it's not like,
I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, before we go into the Author Nation conference, I do want to ask you, cause this has come up in a couple of groups I'm in and stuff, direct sales. So let's just get your thoughts on direct sales, just because it's a big hot topic. And like, how can authors like leverage that to the best of their ability?
Sure. So I've been a proponent of direct selling for a long time. I sell my own books direct. Mm-hmm. I've really helped a lot of authors think this through. I think where things can go awry mm-hmm. is it isn't like just pushing the direct sales button isn't a solution, right? It's mm-hmm. really, you need, in my view, you step back and you say, okay, let's say I'm in KU and I want to make my business a little less fragile. So how am I going to do that? Well, you'll see people, well, I'm just going to rip all my books out of Amazon and go wide, and I'm going to set up a store. And then they're like, I'm broke. What happened?
Yeah.
Like, It's like, well, you didn't think things through in the context of reality.
Right.
And so what do I mean by that? Well, why wouldn't you instead start with an idea of like, hey, I've got a pretty good KU business and it is what it is. And those people are happy there. Mm-hmm. What new readers would I want to add? Well, I'd love to have a bunch of readers that would pay me full price. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go look for them, not on Amazon. I'm going to look for them other places. And I'm going to look for people that are prepared to pay me and work with me direct and understand those demographics are completely different.
Right.
Right. And that's good because a lot of times I hear people, well, you know, I set it up and none of my, you know, I write cozy mysteries and my, these lovely old ladies don't want to go and buy in my store. It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, they're happy over here. Leave them alone. Mm-hmm. What about younger people that would want those books? And then how would you market to them with these greater tools that you have, right? Because now that you're going direct, you have the ability to do conversion driven ads on Facebook and, you know, Google and Reddit and all these places where you can actually see people come to your website and work through your funnel and transact and then feed that information and go back. And it's like, mm-hmm. When you do that, you can start building a different audience.
Right.
And that means at some point you have to explain to your all old audience. It's like, well, things are a little different now. I believe my books are worth $6.99. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sell them for $6.99. You can buy them on Amazon for $6.99. You can buy them on my store for $6.99. You can buy them everywhere for $6.99. Someday when I deem it that my book's worth $1.90, I'll move it into KU and you can have it then. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So it becomes like in my mind, like a phone pricing thing. It's like, if you want to buy a Apple 15 Pro the day it comes out and pay $2,000, God bless America. It's your money. I might be the guy that waits 4 years and gets that phone free on my plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Touch all those parts of the market.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it makes total sense. Like, because also I think most genres, I think romance is skewing somewhat younger because of TikTok, but mostly all of our genres are older readers. Yeah. And so finding ways to find younger readers, readers that are willing to pay for books is, I think, should be a goal of all of us.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because here's where like the world's kind of turned on its head. Mm-hmm. I want younger readers in romance. They're looking for print books. Mm-hmm. They're coming to live events. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you dig into this, and this is something I was talking with Johnny Truen on our podcast about, like, and Kevin Tomlinson, this, like, I know you ladies are much younger than I am, but when I was growing up, you used to have albums.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I've heard like, of those. Yeah.
You may have heard of those. Mm-hmm. This was before CDs, right? Mm-hmm. And like you had the album and you opened it up and you had the liner notes and you owned a part of your favorite band. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that part of like with the, and this ties into the whole direct sales thing is when you start thinking about that, you deliver an experience,
right,
and some people want a physical representation of that experience, then all of a sudden things like Kickstarter and direct sales with special products make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you build your brand around that, then it works. But like, if your brand isn't like, if it doesn't tie in with your brand and you really don't think that through as being like, oh, this is all part of this experience that I'm trying to create for people, it seems artificial and not genuine. And right. I think in today's world, authenticity, it's not just attention that you're fighting for. It's once you get it, do they believe you're authentic?
Right.
So yeah, I think that those kind of things are going to make a lot of sense for some people, and there's going to be other people who are like, that's just too much work.
Right.
What is
and that's okay. You know, that's okay because it is a lot of work. Sarah's been doing it. So,
well, yeah, I was just going to add that I do have an older readership, and what I found is that they will purchase direct or from Kickstarter, especially if it's exclusive or new content. People will buy direct from you, even though it might not be their first choice. If that's the only way they're going to get something, it's, I always think of it as that movie model. You get the new release in the theaters. It's very expensive. You can wait, like you were saying, and get the other versions later. But your true fans, they're going to want it early. So that's how you pull people over. It just is a transition, and you have to let them know what's happening, or else they're just upset.
Yeah, I think we're in this world where you really have to understand your model and how, and be congruent through it. So for example, the other thing that's kind of hot now is subscriptions, and people are, I'm going to have a subscription service. We're got clients that are making a lot of money, and they're making a lot of money on Amazon and KU. But when their model is, they're writing several chapters a week, like they're fast writers. They put it into Patreon or Ream, right? They get basically paid by their dearest fans to be beta readers. Think about how the model just changed. No, I want to see it with all the mistakes. I want to see the dumb things you do too, right? That's how endeared I am with you. Then it goes to free. It goes out to Royal Road, right? Because that's building audience and creating this funnel. And then over time, they pull it down and put it into KU and put it into audio. That model didn't exist 5 years ago.
No.
So I'm I know a lot of people are really scared with what's going on with AI and how marketing's changing. And I think we are in an amazing time in our life where you can't think about it linearly. It's going to be beyond exponential how things are going to change. But we're going to have so many opportunities as long as you keep true to a few things, your fans and your content, right? How these things connect up, nobody on this call knows in 5 years. We could be sticking chips in our head. I don't know, right? But if you can tell a good story, you can sell that to somebody with whatever this new media is going to be.
Right.
And here's where I think this gets back to the direct thing with however search is going to change and however things are going to be, there's got to be a true source of information about your brand, and that's your website. And I believe that what's going to be happening with, as people go away from kind of antiquated keyword searching on Google and move to more advanced model stuff like AI to begin their search, that stuff's going to be informed by those true sources of information. So they're going to know Sarah Rosette. They're going to know Jamie Albright. And they're going to know that that's the source. And it's going to point people to those. Or I could be wrong. I don't know.
From your lips to God's ears. Yeah.
Sounds really good to us. We like that.
I mean, I think you're right. And I think we do have to, even though some of us hate it, start thinking more forward or being more forward in our thinking, because it's not going away.
I was just at the Social Media Marketing World Conference. So this is a conference for social media people, agencies. You think it's bad here, what's happening with AI in author world?
Yeah.
Those people are getting steamrolled.
Yeah.
And some of them are driving the steamrollers. It's crazy. Right. And And then the people that are speaking, they're like, oh, you think that, like, just let's be clear. This is the dumbest this stuff will ever be.
Yeah.
It only gets smarter from here.
Yeah.
So how there'll be people saying, well, you just have to learn how to be a prompt engineer. Oh no, it'll be a better prompt engineer than you'll be.
Yeah.
What won't change is people who are content creators creating original content. That's going to be the beacon. The people that try and use the fire hose and the shoot out a bazillion different iterations of crap. That's not going to work. People will resonate around truth. So think about how do you stay true to your brand? How do you deliver on that? Because that's the sanctuary people will go to.
Right. Yeah, that's really great. I like that. My son-in-law is, I've said this on here before, but he works for a marketing company, and he does social media marketing, but he also does a lot of their analytics and stuff. And he is a huge proponent of AI and even is in an AI club, like goes to a club during the week. I'm like, you're such a nerd. Like you're such a nerd. But I mean, he's become really, really good at prompts. And I mean, you know, he was trying to help me, and I am such a not good prompter.
Not a nerd.
I'm not a nerd. I can't grasp it sometimes. But anyway, it's really interesting. It's very interesting. Okay. Now moving on.
This is a good point to talk about Author Nation, because I think that's one of the things you want to do is tackle some of these topics and the changes. So give us some details about Author Nation and kind of how you're going to approach some of these topics that are so hot button.
Well, and also let's start with what Author Nation is. Let's start there. What it is and what it used to be.
Sure. So for the two people out there that listen to this podcast and didn't know what 20 books is, you know, the 20 books group had the 20 books Las Vegas conference that Craig Martell and Michael Anderle started, and Craig was running since 2017. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, Craig started talking to me about the pressure and stress that he was feeling under the conference. And now I really know what he's talking about. kind of a funny aside. He's like, if you see, we've got a pretty big committee running things. Like, so Joe, it takes 15 people to do what I did. I'm like, yeah, it does. Yeah. It does.
Maybe that's why you were so stressed, right?
Yeah. That's why you were having heart attacks. What we figured out was, because Michael and Craig wanted to kind of get back to more time on their businesses, and, that I could take over those contracts that Craig had personally signed for the next 3 years. So the contracts are the only thing that's kind of left over from 20 books.
Okay.
And, that's at, this year it's the 11th through the 15th of November at the Horseshoe Casino. Mm-hmm. And we'll be there for their 24, 25, 26. Mm-hmm. What I did is I said, well, I really think it's kind of indicative of the times, mm-hmm. right? Like Jamie, you remember going to Smarter Artist, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And and like now Johnny Truant's come back out of the woodwork and he's getting involved. And there's like this kind of momentous thing that's happening, and maybe we shouldn't be putting so much meaning on it. Maybe we should, I don't know. But like, I want the show to demonstrate that the times have changed. Mm. Right. And, and I think we all agree that what used to work doesn't necessarily work like it does. And what we want out of this isn't what we necessarily wanted. Right. We've had time to kind of see like, oh, like I don't necessarily want to be a rapid releaser. Not Jamie, mm-hmm. you've always shown them like, ah.
I don't even know how to spell rapid release.
and you and I have talked about that in the past. I've said like, there was times where you were like, I think, am I crazy? Is like, what everyone's doing? I'm like, no, stick to your guns. Stick to your, right? Like, be yourself. And so that's really where I'm at with this whole thing is, take the core of what that show was about, which was the people, it's the community, it's the networking. It's, mm-hmm. it's that common thing of like, we're trying to figure out how to do this thing in this world of rapid change, facilitate that, but then layer on kind of more of my personality of like, we need to be objective about this. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it's easy. I catch a lot of grief about the fact that I'm not saying, oh, anybody can do this. Mm-hmm. Anybody can try.
Right.
I want everybody to try. If you dream to do this, please. But let's give you the best possible shot at being successful and understand that if it doesn't work out for you, it's not because you suck. It's not because you didn't write fast enough. It's because this is a tough market.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's just tough. So for people who've been to 20 books before, and now are going to come to Author Nation, what can they expect to be different?
Oh boy, where do I even start? you know, we really listened to what people said. So I'll give you some physical changes that are going to be. Mm-hmm. For those people that can visualize this, the silver room. So if you're standing in the salon area, it's kind of the main networking area, the silver room is going away. It will never be again. So we're doubling the size of the networking space. So it's a giant T shape. So you'll be able to walk directly out of the bronze rooms. We do lose some sessions because of getting rid of the silver room, but we understand that the networking and connecting and having more space is going to deliver more value than the 12 sessions we would get out of that. So that's like a physical change. We created deliberate tracks and domains. So the domains are things like, you know, marketing, mindset, business, craft, that will have clear content in, and across those we'll lay tracks. And we have three tracks. The first one is for people that haven't published yet. And it's very focused on the objective of getting you published.
Right.
You know, we all know how hard it is to cross that hurdle. And guess what? Without crossing that hurdle, everything else is just daydreams. And number two is, and we've lined this up with the demographics of the show. Like, we know the different percentages, and that, and then the next is people that have published, but are yet to get profitable. So how can we help you figure out kind of your best life for where you're at and get you to break even? Like, let's get this thing paying for itself, because then the game changes. And then for folks that are profitable, it's like, instead of just being this about like, well, let's get you to the next money level, is let's give you some ways to explore where you want to take your business. Like, what is your best life through writing? Let's figure that out.
Right.
Are you looking to get into things like transmedia and trying some of these other methods of sales? And we're really going to open up conversations about all the different things that are going on. And we are going to look to bring people from outside of the publishing world. So like, one of the reasons why Suze and I went to Social Media Marketing World was we're scouting for speakers, right? It's like, what if we brought in one of the most prominent guys on Google Analytics and had him speak? What if we brought in somebody on Facebook ads? What if we brought in somebody on AI? Like, people that aren't linked, that aren't thinking about it in our, you know, from our point of view.
I love that. I love that. It seems like I was going to ask you a question. Oh, will you still have a digital version of?
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're not going to live stream it.
Okay.
And I know that that is concerning for a lot of folks. We are going to have it. We have a digital ticket. We will release the videos after the show, and we will have follow-up virtual sessions. So we're calling it an after party. So the idea is, this is a benefit to people that can't go to the show and people that do go to the show. So thinking about it from the people that can't go to the show, you're going to have to wait. Sorry, but we're going to record video a little higher quality. We're going to, and the reason we're doing this is because it's such a huge burden on the staff to try and do this. It's not because I'm like, think about this from like business guy perspective. Last year, 680 people were virtual. That's bigger than any other show in the United States. And I'm saying I'm prepared to step away from that. Well, why is that? Well, because the staff who's running an 1800 person show also has to deal with people on this technology, and there's all kinds of snafus, and that's like their single biggest point of failure. So until I can figure out how to do it right, I'd rather not do it. So I'll take, I've already taken a lot of grief over that one. That was
I bet. Yeah. But still, I mean, not to be the Joe, cheerleader here, but I do think I've been in some of those smaller rooms with the people running the tech, and it's stressful for them. Like, they, you know, if something goes wrong, they don't always know how to fix it because they're volunteers, and it's a lot.
And so when we do move to a live stream show, in my vision of that model, which could be as soon as 2025, mm-hmm. we have a separate team that's managing the virtual show that's online and helping people. And there's one or two points of contact from our outside team to the inside team. Like, hey, take the camera cap off, right? Like,
yeah.
but we don't need 600 people Mm-mm. messaging, take the camera cap off. What's make it worse. It's like, everyone's trying to help, but it's like too much help. Like, so now let's think about it from the perspective of, if you go live, mm-hmm. you're also going to get the videos, mm-hmm. right? Because it's impossible, no matter how hard we look at the schedule, we're going to have stuff overlapped and we're going to piss somebody off. Like, right. I only want to go to two sessions and you put them on the same day. What happened? Right. You can now watch those videos, but better, because we'll have this after party thing mm-hmm. and we'll have access to the speakers after. Now that you've had time to go home and digest this material,
right,
you can ask them questions that are relevant, right? Oh, so you can say, oh, I did go to that session. And now I have this question. I rewatched the video. Tell me more about this, mm-hmm. right? As well as it'll create a more, you know, pleasant, controllable environment for people that didn't go to the show, where they'll feel, you know, at least in a virtual environment, a little more interactive. They'll be seeing other people asking questions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a really good compromise for what we're trying to do.
Right. Will it be as big? Are you hoping it'll be as big as it has been in the past?
Oh yeah. I know people think I'm being silly that saying that this thing is most likely going to sell out, but there's some things we're going to be announcing and plus what we're doing with Rave, which is the reader event that's attached to it.
Yeah. We should probably talk about that too, but go ahead. Yeah.
So there, you know, I'm purposely doing things that will get more people to come to the show. So there are people that wouldn't necessarily have gone to 20 books in the past mm-hmm. for whatever their reason being are now included. They're actually part of our team. They're helping us with programming, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we're listening to a lot more voices and bringing people in. Because my view is like, that's just how I operate. Like, I want as many sources of information that we can sort through and figure out like what's best. I think that that's going to just bring more people. I also know some of the things we're going to be announcing soon, things that we've been building and getting contracted and done for the show. Mm-hmm. That's going to make people like, oh, I have to go now.
So do you have that cake ready for me to come out of?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay, good.
We just don't have the permit on the pyrotechnics. Oh, that's the problem. That's why I didn't want to bring it up now. But like, apparently you can't shoot off fireworks inside a casino. Who would have thunk? It's not like we're going to make more smoke.
That's the truth.
I know there's a lot of people that are like, well, I'm just waiting to see kind of where things go. I 100% get it. But when you look at the sponsorship commitments that we've had, we're way ahead. Okay. Ticket sales, we're ahead. So like we're more than like my initial thoughts would be we're plowing right along.
So, well, I think that was one of the reasons to go was the different sponsors were there. So will y'all still have basically everybody, the big names in publishing will be there. So if you want to go and meet the people from, you know, Apple or Google or Book Vault, they'll be there, right?
Yeah, we're going to have everybody there. That's the other thing that's so like on the vendor day, we're not going to do it in the event center. And again, I know this is for all like inside baseball for all of us that have been there, right? Like we're going to leave the event center. Kind of mainly set up for a theater because we've made this bigger space with getting rid of the silver room, we'll have booths in that space so that the vendors will be there and they won't be stuck in the back of a conference room in the dark, falling asleep after lunch because
always good.
Yeah, right. And then the gold room will collapse because all those walls collapse. And that's where we'll set up the tables for the other vendors. So on Monday, when people come in, we're going to get them checked in. We're actually going to bring them right into the event center. So we'll have that massive room so it won't be all constrained. People kind of hang out there, you know, coffee and stuff, and kind of get the networking going while, because the vendors need some time to get everything set up. Mm-hmm. Then we'll open up that space and bring people in. And we'll also be using some of the conference rooms for product demos. So we're one of the things that I think is going to change is rather than having certain people that have to do the same demo 20 times that day to two or three people, it's like, put them in a room. Hey, anybody that wants to go see the Vellum demo or the BookFunnel demo, it's in there. Right. Mm-hmm. And let these people give you a product walkthrough, because, you know, those two products are products where people, if you're a new author, people say to you, hey, you should use Vellum. Hey, you should use BookFunnel. You go and buy it. Now what? We'll come here and we'll show you how to get that first, those first three chapters formatted. Right. Like that gets you closer to publishing. So I can't remember what question we were on and what you were asking me.
We were just talking about vendors. It sounds like that it's going to be well attended.
We've got a lot of people coming. Like, we're still working through a few details on some of the bigger ones because of contractual stuff, but yeah, everyone's going to be there. And we're trying to make it so that there's a great mix between for the vendors, you know, thinking about them as customers is, you know, so they want to be able to talk to new people about new stuff. And they also want to be able to pull some of their, you know, clients that they've got, you know, personal relationships with, have a place to kind of go hang out. And so we have, we're taking a room and making that where they can have some, the vendors can have some like deal room space to talk about stuff that maybe they're not ready to roll out to everybody.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about something tricky in that. And this is one of the things we talked about in the clubhouse room that you and I were in, but about people attending, like people coming to sell something and then people just coming to learn something, two different things, or teach something, two different things.
Yes.
So kind of go over that with people.
Okay. Yeah, this has been a fun one. So, and believe me, I this brush paints me like I've been there to sell courses and stuff, right? I go to an Inc. to find clients. I mean, so one of the things that was abundantly clear from the feedback is people aren't interested in being everything like an infomercial for a course.
Yeah.
And like I don't think that,
sale. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think that's just the old show, but it's getting pretty prevalent in the industry.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's definitely something you see when you go to conferences, no matter where you go. Mm-hmm.
So, and this feeds into like we've committed, we're going to keep the ticket prices low, but we've increased what we're charging sponsors to the shock and dismay of a lot of people. But it's like, what are we going to do with that money? Well, that money goes into making it worthwhile for people to come as invited guests to teach. Because when we ask an author who's a prominent author to come to the show, in the past, a lot of shows, like maybe they get a ticket, maybe they don't get a lot. What people forget is when they decide to take a week off to go to a show like that, they may have walked away from $50,000 to $100,000 of writing time. Right. So that's a big, I can't cover that. Sorry. But what I can do is I can say, hey, listen, if you're going to come and teach as an author, you're going to help share craft or whatever it might be that you clearly see you as an expert in, we're going to cover your expenses. So we're going to pay to get you there, cover your ticket and do, you know, the hotel room and that stuff. So I have a pretty significant cost increase for invited guests. Right. Industry, they're still going to come and they're still going to have the opportunity to sell from the stage, but we're making it abundantly clear. This is an industry guest, right? So like you're an adult,
Be aware of the choices you're making, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Understand that this person wants to sell you something. A lot of people, you probably want to buy what they have to sell, right? Like we just talked to a couple examples of folks of like their products that you kind of need in your technology stack to make things work. We wanted the show to be seen as like, hey, you've come here to determine the best writing tool to use. Here's your choices. Mm-hmm. You've got Atticus, you've got this, you got that, you got these Google Docs. If you want to, let us help you answer that question. The best tool for me is Scrivener, right? Mm-hmm. Now you know to go buy Scrivener. Mm-hmm. If the Scrivener guy's there, which he won't be because they don't go anywhere, then he may have a coupon for you or make an offer. That mm-hmm. that's why he's there, and that's why he's teaching his product. So I think we're being, you know, as clear as we can be. And it's something that, I mean, if right from the beginning we started and said, here's how it works, is if you're and we've had a few authors are like, I don't want to come as an industry guest. Well, then you can't talk about your course. Mm-hmm. But I want a table and I want to sell my course. Then you're an industry guest. Like there's no sort of pregnant thing here. It's one or the other, because we have, this gets to our brand promise as a show to our guests that like, we're going to make it clear.
I think that's a good, mm-hmm. good way to go mm-hmm. to, so that there's no questions. So that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and if there's better ideas, better solutions, we're open to hearing them. It's that's kind of like the best we could come up with at this point. And I think it's until something else comes along, it's going to be a good solution.
I agree. So how does someone coming to a conference, how do they prepare to get the most out of that conference?
Hmm. You ready for a scoop?
Yeah. I've got my pen ready.
Yeah. No, this is, I think this is the first is going to come out. So we're working on a system. So we're going to have a printed program and we're going to have a notebook. And anybody that's come to the show, you used to get your notebook. Well, this notebook is actually going to be almost like a workbook. We're first off, our main sponsor is Lulu. Come in. They're really committed to the indie community. And one of the things they're doing is they're going to design and make this notebook for us. So we're working through a system where you'll be able to evaluate the things you want to go to.
Yeah.
Kind of load your notebook. Like these are the sessions I'm going to go to. So you're kind of ready knowing the questions to go be listening for the answers for when you go in there. Or remind yourself to ask and to look for that. So, and then that's going to be driven by those tracks. So we really want to make it clear, like if you're coming here and you haven't published yet, and I know you want to go to Sarah Rosette's advanced Amazon ads course that she teaches.
Which does not exist and never will.
Don't go. Like you don't even know what a KDP dashboard is. Do not go. Like it sounds like she's going to make you a lot of money. She's just going to frustrate you. Don't go. Mm-hmm. Right. So follow our guidance and you should be in a position where you get the next objective, whatever that milestone is. Oh, I'm a lot smarter now about getting published. Mm-hmm. I learned how to format my book. I got my writing tools. I got some things, right. I don't need to worry about advertising or that. I need to get a book published. Mm-hmm. Same with that profitability thing. Let's figure out how to get you there. And then for folks that are at a different point in their career, kind of guide them through some questions that might be kind of challenging, that like to really think about why are you here? Like, what is it that you really want to get out of it? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's you want to meet certain people. Mm-hmm. So let's make that an objective. And then, what we're just getting ready to roll out, we're in the process of kind of testing some things out and getting rolled out, is we're trying to create community aspects to this that will be at home. So when you get done with the conference and you get to these last pages in that book, if you follow the guidance, you should come down to one or two things that you should go home and do. And if we can create groups, support groups to keep you accountable and get that mm-hmm. stuff done, mm-hmm. then we've closed the loop.
Yeah.
Right. And that's how I'm thinking about this whole thing is how can I build this thing as like this author learning system where you know, you're accountable. Like I can't make, you don't have to put notes in your book. You can just sit at the bar and drink. Right. That's God bless. It's your money. But if you are trying to get this, like, here's a way that we think we can kind of keep you going. And because this is new, like have some folks that are ahead of you say, you know, I know it's scary. Keep going. Like, yeah, you're going to get hit with a twig or two as we go through this part of the forest. It's not going to kill you. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. And that's what you should expect. Like, if you're coming, we want to help you be prepared. We want to make sure that unlike other shows, it's not like, come on over. Everybody's drinking from the fire hose.
Yeah. 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 I think that's really smart to try and focus it down to one or two action steps at the end, because that's what happens a lot of times. You go to a conference and you have so many ideas and then you get home and you're a little overwhelmed and you just don't do any of them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you've got to have some next steps.
I just had it happen to me. I went to Social Media Marketing World and I was like, every session I came out of, I'm like, oh my God, my life's changed. Right. Yeah. And then I'm like, Suze was with me. We were splitting sessions. She's coming out. Oh my God. And there's still like another 30% of videos we get. And then you go home and you're just like,
it's like too much information. Yeah.
And then you forget.
Yeah.
Well, I remember what albums were like. So like, that's how old my brain is.
Right. And I say this, I've said it on the stage at 20 books, and I say it a lot when I speak, is that you should take the information that you learn at any conference and don't make it fit into your life. Let me back up, because I just messed that up. Alexa, you don't even have to take it out. This is part of our brand. Take the information and make it fit into your life.
Yeah.
Do not make your life fit around the information you've learned, because that's not realistic. And that is not a long-term solution. That is a recipe to burn out, in my opinion. But because we're all at different places. Some of us have kids. We can't write, you know, 8 hours a day. You know, we got little kids. I mean, you can't, you know, some of us can't do certain things because of just our stage of life or our health or whatever. So you need to take the information and make it fit into your life in a way that is responsible to you, to your family and your health, while still having a goal.
Yeah. And to pile onto that point, because it's one of the most important things that I think we're changing about the show, is if you have the right to make the decision to say, you know what, I could put a lot of effort and grow my business a certain way, but I choose today to park my rear end on a cold bench and watch my kids play Little League. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do that for the next 3.5 years, because then that's gone. Mm-hmm. And it's gone.
Yeah.
I know that the cost for me to have that is my business doesn't do whatever it could have done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to be that, like, that's a life choice. Mm-hmm. It's the right choice for you. If you make, like, that's your thing. Mm-hmm. Because that's not celebrated, right? That's not seen as like, oh, well, your business only made $40,000 last year. What's wrong with you? It's like, well, I was at every one of my kids' games. Mm-hmm. I got to coach my kids' soccer team. That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Who talks about that?
Nobody.
We are.
Yeah. Good.
Because also there are some people that can do both. There are some people that can do both. God bless them. Absolutely. Most people are not those people, but some people can. And I just think that's amazing.
Yeah.
But most of us can't. So
but a lot of us, when we compare ourselves, we always compare up to the person who's making more money or releasing more books. And so that tends to make us feel bad when we evaluate ourselves. Whereas if we think about it as if you have your goal set, okay, this is what's most important to me. It makes it easier if you can go back to those things instead of comparing to.
Yeah. If you compare, yeah, if you measure it against your own values, it's a different story than if you measure it against someone else's values or work ethic or whatever output.
Or just production.
Or just, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of the conversation, right? What are your values? Mm-hmm. It's okay if you don't necessarily have them at this point, mm-hmm. like that you're mm-hmm. trying to figure this out. If you're, you know, just coming into this and this is your first time, it's like, what is important?
Right.
I mean, maybe it is all about like being a big deal author.
Right.
Cool. Like we're not saying that's a bad thing.
No, not at all. Yeah.
But, you know, I also know from the work that I've done and looking under the hoods of a lot of business that like mm-hmm. sometimes you're comparing yourself to people and they're not telling you the truth, mm-mm. not because they're outwardly lying, but they just don't know. Mm-hmm. Like they think like, this is what my business is. It's like, no, it's not. It's not. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, to have a life where you have balance is never going to be easy. Because you're the producer, like, you know, you're giving a part of yourself to create something. So it's going to be depletive.
Yeah.
So you're always going to have cycles.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, with what I've been through over the last couple of years, you know, one thing I have said multiple times is, I am so grateful for this business. This business allowed me to be with my sister every day for 6 months until she took her last breath, because I could still make money, not write, and be with her. There are very few businesses like that. Yeah. I mean, really aren't any. And I'm just really fortunate. And had I not had that, I would have had to struggle and miss out, because I live in a different city. I don't even live where she lived. And so, I mean, there are just so many things, and time is the thing you cannot get back. You can never get it back. So,
right. And like you and I have talked, I know what you're capable of. I know the things you've done to make your career successful. Like, so like things, a lot of people be like, I'm not going to do that.
So, Jamie's fearless.
Right. So
in so many ways.
That's courageous living, is to be able to say like not, and you're having courage against all these norms and all the like these things, these like, I'm gonna go to that conference and you know, there's gonna be all these people and they're probably got 4 more books out. And it's like no, live your life.
Yeah. Well, this has been awesome. Thank you so much. Anything else we should know before we wrap up?
Tell us the dates.
Tell us the dates one more time.
So November 11th through the 15th.
Okay.
Tickets are on sale now. If you go to authornation.live, L-I-V-E.
All right.
We're going to continue to have the tickets are still on. I don't know when this will air, but at least for the foreseeable. Okay. So like the tickets will still be on early bird pricing. We're not going to change that until we get most of our speaker slate announced.
Okay.
We're just a little bit behind because we had over 200 submissions. So we're sorting through a lot of really good things and we're going to have to tell some people like, sorry, you're a great speaker, but like there's greater-ish speakers over here.
Yeah.
So, and we're making some choices to mix stuff up. We don't, you know, there's some things that, you know, we have been there in the past or, maybe at a show a month before.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is good. We will have that link in the show notes and anything else you want to share about, just go to Author Nation
Live.
See what Author Nation Live.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're not listening to all the back episodes of this podcast, we've got a podcast too. It's a little different. We've had a lot of people think that it's good. And you'll get a feel for how we're talking about issues.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen any of the ones we shot in Austin, but we're getting into some stuff that's a little spicy.
That's okay. Spicy's good.
Yeah. Well, it's like, we got to talk about it. Right. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to sell anybody on an idea. Like, this is how you're going to do it, or this is good, or this is bad. It's like, it's your choice. Mm-hmm. Here's the pros and cons. This is what we're thinking.
All right. Very good.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate being on again. I love your podcast.
Thank you.
And you know what we didn't talk about?
What?
Are you going to be doing something special at the show?
I am. I'm going to be leading a panel or moderating a panel for authors for Wish Had Known Then, the things they wish they had known. And Sarah will not be there because she's going to be in the Mediterranean. Sorry, Sarah.
This is one of his life choices. So Jamie's going to hold down the fort at the conference. I will on the cruise ship.
If it wasn't for the time difference, we'd have you live stream in. But
Well, that wouldn't work. Yep. So anyway, I'll be there and I'll be moderating a panel, and I will be representing the podcast.
So we'll do a podcast episode there for you guys. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be terrific. Well, we will have all those links at the Wish I'd Known Then podcast, which is wishidknownforwriters.com. And if you want to support the podcast, you can go to that same link /support. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. We hope this episode inspired you, empowered you, and made you laugh a little bit too. If you loved it, tell your friends about it. And if you feel so inclined, leave us a review. We look forward to being with you again next week.